shape. Let's go back to Schrödinger's example of a man returning to his childhood home after many years. He finds the place unchanged. The same stream flows through the same meadows. However, the material that makes up the stream in the meadows has completely changed many times. To quote Schrödinger, it is clearly the peculiar form or shape, German Gestalt, that raises the identity beyond doubt, not the material content. According to quantum theory, a transempirical domain of reality exists that does not consist of material things, but of transmaterial ideal forms. Schrödinger writes, "The old idea about them was that their individuality was based on the identity of matter in them. The new idea is that what is permanent in these ultimate particles or small aggregates is their shape and organization." The habit of everyday language deceives us and seems to require, whenever we hear the word shape or form pronounced, that it must be the shape or form of something, that a material substratum is required to take on a shape. But when you come to the ultimate particles constituting matter, there seems to be no point in thinking of them again as consisting of some material. They are, as it were, pure shape, nothing but shape. What turns out again and again in successive observations is this shape, not an individual speck of material. This pure shape is reminiscent of the Platonic idea of transcendental forms beyond physics, hence metaphysics. Heisenberg writes, "Material things are the copies, the shadow images, of ideal shapes and reality." It is as if the physical world is a shadow emanation of a higher dimensional reality. To quote Sir James Jeans, "Plato maintained that the forms possessed a higher degree of reality than the material objects which exemplify them, so that the world was primarily a world of ideas, and only secondarily a world of material objects." In a similar vein, physicist Hans-Peter Dürer writes, "The material world, which is so tangible to us, increasingly proves to be an apparition, and dissolves into a reality where it is no longer things and matter, but forms and shapes, which dominate." This idea of pure shape sounds similar to the idea of the primordial archetypal image which informs all of the various specific manifestations of the underlying archetype. Hearing the word shape and immediately assuming it must be the shape of something is an expression of our classically conditioned mind, which thinks in terms of objects having definite form in an objective world. Quantum physics' discovery that matter and the whole material world are literally lower-level shadow patterns on the walls of the cave of the space-time continuum being cast by a higher-dimensional reality outside the cave represents a modern scientific realization of a philosophical framework established by Plato, called Platonic idealism, Plato's theory of forms, or more simply, Platonism. This insight is famously expressed in Plato's allegory of the shadows on the wall of the cave. In essence, Plato's point of view is that non-physical, higher-dimensional forms, ideas, shapes, and archetypes are the primary essential reality that inform and give shape to the physical world. The material forms in our universe are the particular instantiations that are derived from these ideal forms and stand in relation to them precisely as shadows stand in relation to the higher-dimensional forms that cast them. Heisenberg writes, "The smallest units of matter are in fact not physical objects in the ordinary sense of the word. They are forms, structures, or in Plato's sense, ideas." The implication of these insights is that the universe is similar in nature to an idea, a collective thought form becoming materialized into living form. French physicist Louis de Broglie comments, "The great wonder in the progress of science is that it has revealed to us a certain agreement between our thoughts and things." Thought itself appears to be the basic building block of the universe. Is the universe not only made by thought, but is itself one big thought? To quote Jeans, "The universe begins to look more like a great thought than a great machine." Thinking along similar lines, Eddington wrote, "The universe is of the nature of a thought or sensation in a universal mind." The quantum world is not comprised of objects. Rather, it is an endlessly unfolding, ever-changing dynamic process that is in continuous movement. Similarly, it is easy to assume that if there is movement, there is something that is doing the movement. In the quantum realm, however, We are never able to find any such entity or substance. It is only encountered in thought, as an idea within our minds. Given that mind is being revealed by quantum physics to be the foundation of the physical world, movement itself may ultimately be the movement of our mind. When the universe manifests in its wave-like aspect, there is no separate entity that is doing the waving. At the quantum level, the dancer and the dance are inseparably one. There are no separate dancers. There is only the dance. In the quantum realm, there is motion, but ultimately no moving objects. There are no entities, things in themselves, existing behind or as the cause of phenomena. Rather, we can only talk about things as an abstraction existing in and not separate from phenomena. The idea that objects exist apart from processes is a residue of our outdated classical conception of the world and is at the root of our seemingly inescapable sense of separateness from the universe. To say the same thing differently, relations are not secondarily derived from objectively existing relata, independent entities, but it is the relations that are themselves, ontologically speaking, primary. Phenomena are composed of relations without pre-existing relata doing the relating. There is only relata within relations. This is to say that things with seemingly determinate boundaries and specific properties emerge through the process of relationship rather than existing prior to, informing, and determining the relationship. This insight turns our traditional ideas and understanding of causality on its head. It is only through the ongoing process of phenomena being reconstituted via relations, without pre-existing relata doing the relating, that our concepts about the world become meaningful. It behooves us to remember that this is a process which ultimately takes place within and is not separate from our minds. If we focus our attention on individual quantum entities, we find ourselves unable to account for the seemingly impossible behavior of these entities. Many, maybe all, of the paradoxes inherent in quantum physics are a result of the mistaken assumption that there are individually distinct, determinate, and bounded entities that underlie phenomena. This is itself an externalized reflection of the fact that we ourselves are not a discrete reference point or an I separate from the process of the endless becoming of the universe. The universe, like a never-ending work of art, is a work in progress in which we ourselves are participating every moment, dreaming it up while simultaneously being dreamed up by it.